You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:55pm with Natalie Kerry, Rory Delaghi and Catherine Fry in the studio. Two jumps meetings, one from Kempton and one from Ludlow, accompanied by all-weather action at Chelmsford City. Three afternoon meetings to look forward to this Monday. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Alistair Whitehouse-Jones. How are you, Ali?
Very well, thank you, Mark.
Good man, good man. Plenty to look back at before we get stuck into Monday's action as well. A very good day on Saturday. We'll start with the action at Haydock and we'll start with the Grade 1 contest on the afternoon, the Betfair Chase. And Q-Card, emphatic in victory. He's a different horse this time round.
Yeah, they've turned him inside out. He clearly had physical issues and they've tinkered with his wind, haven't they, and his back and this, that and the other. And he has looked... as good as ever, and you know, without question, that was yesterday. Was a career high. Even surpasses, you know, his Ryanair victory. He sort of looked at the race afterwards and thought, you know, was it a bit too good to be true? And you know, you see as Sylvinity Acciaconti ran below his best, but you look where Dinast has finished, and it's very hard to pick holes in the form. I just think it was an exceptional performance. He never literally come off the bridle. I mean, it was, you know, he looked sure-footed, he jumped well, he settled well. And that's the one aspect of the new Q card, is the fact he looks as though he's matured, you know, he settles better in his races, and that's going to be key with a view to the King George and, more importantly, the Cheltenham Gold Cup, because he's never struck me as a potential Gold Cup winner, but... if he can travel and travel and travel like he did yesterday, then he's going to give himself every chance.
Yeah, I always doubted whether Q-Card would stay the trip in the Gold Cup.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced, but at least he'll give himself a chance.
Yeah.
The old Q-Card would never have... wouldn't have had a prayer getting home. But I just think the relentless gallop they'll go in the Gold Cup, I think they'll get him out of his comfort zone. You know, it doesn't strike me as a Gold Cup winner, but without question... definitely a potential King George winner.
Yeah, and the point you make there about Sylvain Acciaconti, I think he's actually run his race.
I think
so. And
Q-Card's
just battered him.
He has. I mean, Sylvain Acciaconti has sort of always had one over Q-Card. He's beaten him more often than not when they've met in the past, but Q-Card looked, as you touched on, he just looks a reformed character this year. I think they've got him absolutely bang on. And combine that with a more settled Q-Card as well, and you've got the complete package.
Yeah, it's caused a bit of a shake-up in the William Hill King George of the Sixth Chase betting. Votor still heads the market there at 5-2. Don Cossack 4-1. Q-Card now 5-1. Coney Gree, who needs to be supplemented, is 6s. 12s for Petit Zig and Safir de Reux. Sylvain Acciaconti also 12-1. And 16s or bigger for the others. That leads us nicely on to Votor, who won at Ascot on Saturday. Made one or two errors along the way, but does he strike you as a 5-2 favourite for the King George?
No chance. I wouldn't back him at fives. I really wouldn't. The reasons why: I think he's definitely a better horse going left-handed, and there were signs of that yesterday. Kept jumping out, you know, not dramatically, but there was a tendency for definite on it, virtually every fence to nudge out to his left. He won't be able to get away with that in a King George. How they'll ride him will be fascinating, because again, the King George has a reputation for being an easy 3 mile, and if you're going to get it anywhere, you're going to get it at Kempton. That is just a myth.
Yeah, you look at the past winners of the King George, they're all stayers.
Well, exactly, and the reason being, yes, it's an easy speed orientated 3 mile, but in the heat of battle in a King George, they go a mad gallop. You know, they don't dawdle around, and that you look at the past King Georges and horses are beaten with a mile to go, and they turn in. Even the horses that turn in travelling, it is a long way home. having gone a real championship gallop. And Vettura's got all to prove in that respect. I mean, I think the fact he's favourite for the Gold Cup, I can see why he's favourite for the King George. I can't see for the life of me why he's favourite for the King for the Gold Cup. You know, given the depth of quality to this season's renewal, and you need to stay 3.5 miles to win a Gold Cup without question. And if he can do that, then this is an absolute freak of a horse. He really is, but he's not even on my shortlist for the King. I would be amazed if he runs in the Gold Cup. You know, you look at last year, he was red hot favourite for the Arkle this time last year.
Yeah.
And he ended up running in the 2.5 miler. And I think that could be, you know, I don't think Willie Mullins has said for definite that this horse is going to run in the Gold Cup. I think it's just the fact that people presume that he is.
Rich Ritchie said he wants him to run the Gold Cup, hasn't he?
Mullins will have the last say.
Yeah.
I think. And he has got, you know, serious Gold Cup horses in the yard. Jacquedam, Sardichamp, and, you know, Don Poli is probably his first string, you know. And whereas this horse would be, what would he be for the Ryanair? It would be a 6-4 shot and would probably win it on last year's festival form.
Yeah.
I think he's more than likely to run in the Ryanair than the Gold Cup. Myself?
Yeah. Well, if you are using common sense rather than going for the lustre of the Gold Cup, you'd think 2.5 miles around Cheltenham is ideal. It's a grade one and he's got other horses to target at the Gold Cup.
Yeah, and they've got the same owners have got Jacquedam, who was second in the race last year. And given how, you know, the demands of a Gold Cup, is far better suited to that race than this flashy 2.5 miler, who was a brilliant horse, but has got it. The King George will tell us. I guess they'll make the decision as to their festival target after Kempton, which makes perfect sense. But I'd be against him at Kempton. A, because he's got something to prove at 3 mile, and B, because of that tendency to jump out to his left.
Okay. Just touching on a few of the other races as well. We'll go back to Ascot for the Ascot Hurdle, or what used to be the Ascot Hurdle, Grade 2. Won by Rock on Ruby, and it was a great ride by Barry Geraghty, but Rock on Ruby's attitude just shone again, didn't he? He's just hardy, isn't he?
Oh, he's a superstar. He's a bit like Cucard. He's one of those horses that you just warm to, you know, because he wants it so badly. And former champion hurdle winner, not as good as he was, clearly. And he, you know, fair play, he probably dropped lucky yesterday in what was a really ordinary renewal. You know, you've got a horse like Brother Ted, you know, that was sent. Was he favourite in the end? He was favourite or second favourite.
He went off 13-8 favourite.
Yeah, and you look at the roll of honour that race boasts, and it's been won by, you know, some real greats: Barracuda, Dawn Run, you know, Morley Street, you know, some real top horses. And yeah, Rock on Ruby has been a grand servant to Connections, but yesterday's renewal, take him out, and it was I'd say it was a shocking renewal. But the fact that he won at the age of 10. Under a masterful front-running ride, you will look back on it in 12 months and go, yeah, that was Rock and Ruby, yeah, great. But take him out of the equation, and that was a shocking renewal. Not that they will care, because he's won again at a good level, good prize money, and fair play to him. And fair play to Harry Fry, whose horses at the minute look an absolute picture. He's sending out winners all over the shop, but it's like we commented yesterday, you know, live on air, you look at them at the start and they just are absolutely bouncing. Their skin is shining, their coat, they just look an absolute $1 million and are running accordingly.
Mm. Harry Fry, obviously strong connections with Paul Nichols, so too has Dan Skelton, and he had a big winner as well. He won the Fixed Brush Hurdle with Baradari, who won it in nice style as well.
He did. That may have been the day. Skelton has made it clear today that was, you know, future plans were in the air, because that was the plan, you know, that he'd targeted at the race. He's a horse with, you know, limited scope, I'd say, to really go on to the sort of heights that other horses that have won and ran in that race have gone on to achieve. But I don't think they were overly bothered. Yesterday was a really good race to win. Good prize money. That was the target. A case of job done, and whatever he does now between now and the rest of the season is a bonus.
Anything else stand out to you on the Saturday?
Loads. It was whirlwind stuff, wasn't it? But so, I mean, Ascot, take away the really good races at Ascot, and it was a bit of a, I mean, that 70 grand handicap chase, you know, I mean, That was the one by Dresden. You know, it was last man standing in that. I think any of them wanted to win. I mean, that wouldn't have looked out of place at Plumpton. And a couple of the other races were below what you'd expect by Ascot standards. But American, another Harry Fry horse. He looks a real name to note. Front two came a long way clear in that decent-looking novice hurdle. I think he's a horse to follow. And at Haydock, no question, the unlucky horse on the card was Stradnor Hannah, who would have won the staying handicap chase quite late on the card by some distance had he not come down three out. If provided the handicapper doesn't react too harshly, then he's going to be a horse that's going to be winning races. Strikes me as a sort of that could, you know, Sue Smith trained, could be aimed at you know, some of those. It'll almost certainly go back to that 3.5 miler back at Haydock. I'd have thought it used to be the Grand National Trial. That would seem an obvious target, and he's a horse that will go on to better things. And Irving, fair play to him, beating the young buck Top Notch, off levels, which he was entitled to do, but yeah. I think Top Notch ran well enough to enhance the reputations of last year's four-year-olds. You know, the Triumph Hurdle does look an epic renewal, yeah. And I think he did enough yesterday by pushing Irving. He was a rock-solid yardstick all the way, and I think last year's four-year-olds are going to, judging by yesterday's performance of Top Notch, last season's four-year-olds are going to be holding their own in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, some nice four-year-olds knocking about, isn't there?
So. Yep. Mm.
Okay, well, let's leave that there. That's Saturday's action nicely parcelled up for us. Let's move on to Monday's action. Alice has got four races for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Monday's action. Alice is going to look at three races at Kempton and one of them at Ludlow as well. We'll spin through them in chronological order. So we start in the 210 at Kempton, which is a listed mare's hurdle over 3.5 miles a furlong. Five of them in the lineup here, and I imagine Polly Peacham is going to be a relatively short price favourite.
Yeah, player straight back to kick off with. I think this mare should win. Being an absolute star for Connections, is everything you'd like in a race. It was consistent, genuine game, jumps for fun. Had the one blip last year at Kempton, but other than that was, you know, you could set your clock by this mare. I think it might be her last season. I think the owners are keen to breed off her, which is perfectly understandable. The big target is going to be the mare's race at the Cheltenham Festival in March, in which, of course, she was agonisingly beaten by Glenn's Melody 12 months ago, after which she won a listed hurdle at Sandown. I don't think she was at her best that day, but, you know, after a hard race at the festival, but her class got her home. And at the figures, you know, tomorrow's race, in fairness, looks hers to lose. Giving £8 all round, but she's, you know, this mare's rated 152. Next best would be, what, 130, 132. So she's got a lot in hand. And, yeah, the others do have, well, all but one of the others have the benefit of a run, but her class should, you know, see her home with a bit to spare. En route to bigger and better things.
Polly Peacham then to land the 210 at Kempton Park. Just nipping over to Ludlow for their 220. This one is a Class 3 handicap chase over 2 miles. Nine of them in the lineup here. Alistair, we'll start with Artifice Sivola, who made an emphatic winning reappearance at Fakenham. Up in grade a little bit here, but clearly in good form.
Yeah, up in grade, up in the weights, £10 higher. Beat a horse called Be On Time, who ran yesterday at Huntingdon and did absolutely nothing for the form. Was well beaten. Also take into account the fact that Fakenham form is a law unto itself. You know, it very rarely does it travel particularly well, shall we say. And this gelding has been a bit hit and miss around Fakenham in the past. I think it's run four times there, twice run really well and twice not so. But I think up in grade, you know, in a better race, £10 higher, the form wasn't franked, I'm happy to take that one on.
Okay, who do you take him on with?
Well, it's competitive. The two I were keen on were initially Tornado in Milan, who, if you happen to be going to Ludlow tomorrow, just have a look at this horse in the paddock, because he's an absolute nutcase. He's a real lovable rogue. They love him at Evan Williams' yard. He's a real character. I liked his return. when he was second at Liverpool. He was beaten a fair way by a horse called Dresden, of course, who did give the form a hell of a boost when winning that two-mile handicap at Ascot on Saturday. But he was beaten best part of 20 lengths. You just don't know what you're going to get from this horse. So while it would not surprise me in the remotest should he defy a mark of 1.25, I'm going to go with the top one here, a horse called Ballyboly from the Nigel Twiston Davis stable, having only his second run over fences, and he was beaten some 60 lengths on his first effort in a novice chase at Warwick, but that was a really good novice chase. I just think it's interesting that, you know, from that he's going straight into a handicap. He must think a figure of 1.35 is relatively manageable, and if you look at the quality of his form as a novice hurdler last season, then you'd think it was. I mean, he was only beaten 18 lengths in the Grade 1 over 2 mile at Aintree. That day recorded a Racing Post rating of 1.36. So, you know, this horse at this sort of level of competition off a figure of 1.35, if he jumps well, and he looked a fairly safe conveyance at Warwick. He was a bit too keen, but we can forgive him that on his first run since April. If he gets into a rhythm, finds some fluency, he's got the class to win this off a figure of 1.35, I believe.
Ballyboly, then, the selection for Alistair in the 220 at Ludlow. The 245 at Kempton is where we go next. This one is a Class 3 handicap chase over 2.5 miles. It's a qualifier for the Challenger Middle Distance Chase Series Final. A field of 8 here, Alistair, and we'll start with Risk of Fine, who arrives here chasing the hat-trick.
He does indeed, yeah. Once they get two, I'm always willing to take them on in bid for a third. I mean, this horse has switched to a handicap company here as well. He's won a beginner's chase at Market Raisin and then followed up in a novice chase at Worcester. Neither were particularly strong affairs. Small fields as well. Only beat, you know, three rivals at Worcester last time. I don't think he's thrown in at all off 1.35. So I'll be willing to take this horse on with The Clock Leary. Now, Venetia Williams won this 12 months ago, and The Clock Leary is an intriguing candidate here. A year ago, he won on his chasing debut at Ascot off 118. Now, he's £10 higher now, but he won that absolutely doing handsprings by 11 lengths. Since then, he contested a traditionally good novice handicap at the Hennessy meeting at Newbury. Was only 100-30 for that. For whatever reason, didn't perform. But if we can put a line through that, we can also put a line through his reappearance defeat at Cheltenham only recently in the Open meeting. He was backed off the boards that day. I think he was 14-1 in the morning, was backed into 7-1. And although pulled up, you can basically put a line through that because he was virtually hit the ground at the first fence. He was chewing the grass, as they say. And that was it. He was straight on the back foot, never got into any rhythm at all. Aidan Coleman was very sensible in not persevering, pulled him up. Literally, just do not be over concerned by that. Hopefully, he will be a bigger price than he should be on the back of that pulled up effort. And if this horse returns to the form he was in at Ascot 12 months ago, and admittedly, that is a bit of a grey area because he's only been out twice in the meantime and, you know, not shone on either occasion. I think there were reasons for both disappointments, and the fact that he was so well backed at Cheltenham last time would suggest to me that, you know, he's only a 7-year-old, he's very lightly raced, it's perfectly feasible that he can, you know, return to that winning form of 12 months ago, and if he does, then he's a very strong contender.
The Clock Leary then for Alistair in the 2.45 at Kempton, and we finish off in the 3.45 at Kempton. This one is a conditional jockey's handicap hurdle over 2 miles. We've got a field of 12 here, Alistair. Who'd you like in there?
Yeah, it's pretty competitive, this. The one I'm going to go with is the Dan Skelton-trained closest friend near the top of the weights. Was a really impressive winner of a Market Raise and novice hurdle. Didn't beat a lot, but the way he did it, the smacked of a horse that was going to hold his own in better company. After that, they took him to Ascot for a really strong handicap won by the John Ferguson-trained Nabucco, who since come out and ran okay and finished mid-division at Cheltenham in the end, but ran well for a long way. I think that was strong form. And this fellow, even though he was, you know, he was comfortably held in the end, only finished 10th and was some way back. But if you actually watch the VT of that race, he was absolutely bang there, jumping the second last. And, I mean, he was, you know, he he was, you'd have thought for life or money he was going to be, you know, competitive in the finish. And he just weakened out of it. This is an easier race. Kempton's going to be his sort of track because he's a horse that travels well. And I just think in this softer company, you know, I'm willing to give this horse another chance off this sort of mark.
Okay, giving closest friend another chance in the 3:45. Let's just, as usual, Alistair, have a little bit of a summary if you'll spin us through your selections for Monday one more time.
Yeah, the 2:10 at Kempton Park. Polly Petrum looks a bit of a standout at the weights. Bally Bolly is taken to win what is a fairly competitive handicap chase at Ludlow. That's due off at 2:20. In the 2:45, back at Kempton, the Clock Leary can hopefully bounce back from his recent disappointment and excusable failure at Cheltenham. And then finally, in the 3:45, we go with the Dan Skelton-trained closest friend.
Superb. Good work, Alistair. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Monday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go. The thoughts of Alistair Whitehouse-Jones on Monday's action. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:55pm. Natalie Kerry, Rory Delaghi and Catherine Fry will be the team in the studio. It's National Hunt action at Kempton and Ludlow, accompanied by All Weather Racing at Chelmsford City. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.